This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Next time you're looking for a good deal on farm equipment, make sure you get a good deal on the financing too. You can by asking for Ag Direct at your ag equipment dealer. Along with attractive financing rates, AgDirect offers ag-friendly financing terms, including financing from 2 to 7 years and delayed payments for up to 12 months. AgDirect also features an easy application. It takes just minutes, and you can get a credit decision back in minutes, too. That means you can make the deal on the spot without having to call back or make a return visit. See for yourself. When you want to buy, lease, or refinance farm equipment, be sure to ask your dealer for AgDirect financing. Subject to approval, restrictions may apply. So get a good deal on your equipment financing with AgDirect, available only at your ag equipment dealer. Check our competitive interest rates at agdirect.com. Ask your dealer for simple, fast, and flexible financing. Ask for AgDirect.
As summer approaches, it seems everyone is worried about gas prices. And Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra has 10 Chevy models offering 30 mpg highway or better. The 2012 Equinox at 32, the all-new Sonic at 35, the Impala at 30, the Cruze at 39, and the all-new 2013 Malibu at 37. At Smokey Jennings, they're on the ground and ready to sell. 35 cars and Equinoxes in stock. Smokey Jennings is ready to show you why their customers rate them in the top 5 for customer satisfaction in the St. Louis region. Smokey Jennings, family-owned and operated since 1946. Chevy runs deep.
First of all, in our farm news today, the DTN general opening call for later this morning. Expect corn to open steady to 2 higher, beans about a nickel higher, wheat steady to 2 lower. The overnight crude oil market, 34 cents lower at 104.88. Brent crude, 49 cents lower at 117.71. The June gold contract, $8.10 lower at $1,645.90. While the U.S. dollar index 0.110 higher at 79.242. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, May wheat closed at 607. That was down 26¾. July wheat closed at 614½, down 28½. September wheat closed at 630¼, down 27½. May corn on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 642¼, down 17½. July corn closed at 611½, down 17½. September corn closed at 539¼, down 11. May soybeans yesterday closed at 1480, down 17¾. July beans closed at 1485, down 18½. August beans closed at 1465¾, that was down 21 cents. May soybean meal on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 428.50, down 40. July meal closed at 429.70, down 45. August meal closed at 421.20, down 75. May soybean oil closed at 54.33, down 19. July oil closed at 54.71, down 20. August oil closed at 54.91, down 19. May oats yesterday closed at 330¼, down 6. July oats closed at 337¼, down 8. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. Illinois country grain prices were sharply lower on Wednesday afternoon. Technical, fun, and speculative selling at the Board of Trade pushed grain futures lower. Prices ended lower despite several export sales announced by the USDA. One sale of 204,000 metric tons of soybeans and the other a sale of 130,000 tons of metric tons of corn. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 18 cents lower at 623 to 636. And soybeans dropped 15 to 18 cents at 1464 to 1477. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids dropped 17 cents at 636 to 647. Soybeans fell 18 cents, ranging from 1468 to 1488. And soft red winter wheat dropped 32 to 33 cents at 592 to 610. In the St. Louis area, country elevators and mills reported corn bids down 15 to 18 cents, range from 635 to 639. Soybeans fell 18 to 19 at 1475 to 1477. And the wheat price is down 27 to 30 cents at 604 to 610. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 11 to 13 lower at 649 to 653. Soybean bids dropped 18 to 22 cents at 1485 to 1492. And the wheat prices down for the new crop bids down at 28 cents at 605 to 615. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 7 to 14 cents lower at 661 to 669. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 17 to 22 cents, with quotations at 1506 to 1508. Soft red winter wheat down 25 cents at 629 to 630, and the Milo ended at 581 to 582. That is our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, May hogs closed at 81.27, down 172. June hogs closed at 84.45, down 140. July hogs closed at 85.30, down 145. June cattle yesterday closed at 112.87, down 65. August cattle closed at 115.80, down 50. October cattle closed at 121.42, down 22. May feeder cattle yesterday closed at 149.97, down 20. August feeders closed at 154.22, up 2 cents. September feeders closed at 155.57. That was up a nickel. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
The closing livestock reports for Wednesday, May 2nd. For the Eastern Corn Belt, daily direct hogs, burros, and gilts closed 64 cents lower, with a carcass base price range 70 to 77.5 and a weighted average of 76.23. Hogs purchased Illinois today, 13,900. Illinois direct brown gilt trade was steady to weak at 53 to 56, and Illinois direct slaughter sows were steady to dollar lower. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds traded from 42 to 46. 450 to 550 pounds, 45 to 49. Over 550 pounds at 48 to 50. Today's estimated receipts of 1,025 and Tuesday's actuals 1,200. Pork carcass cutout 78.45. That is up 69 cents. Estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection hogs for today 409,000. Last week 412,000. A year ago 410,000. Week to date of 1,230,000. Cattle for today 126,000. Last week, 122,000. A year ago, 128,000. Week to date, 364,000. Box beef cutout values were steady to firm on light to moderate demand and offerings. Total movement today, 179 fab loads with 56 trim. Choice at 191.18. That is up 71 cents. Select at 186.43, and that is down 3 cents. At the Fairview Livestock Auction, 345 head sold yesterday. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers traded steady to $1.50 lower. Holstein steers lightly tested. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s at 122 to 125. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s at 106 and a quarter to 111 and a half. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s, 121.75 to 125. Slaughter cows, breaking type, traded from 84.5 to 92.75. Bony type cows at 86 to 92.75. Lean cows, 78 to 85. With slaughter bulls, your grade 1s at 96 to 104. There's a special bred cow and cow-calf pair. Sell Tuesday evening at Fairview, 537 head sold. Trade was active with good demand, especially for young cow-calf pairs. Young large-frame second-stage cows traded at $1,325 to $1,500 a head, with middle-aged large-frame second-stage cows $1,175 to $1,475. Young large-frame third-stage cows sold at $1,225 to $1,900 a head, and middle-aged large-frame third-stage cows $1,160 to $1,550. Aged large frame third stage cows, $950 to $1,335. Young large frame number one cow calf pair sold at $1,650 to $2,600 a pair, with middle aged large frame number one pairs at $1,350 to $2,400. Young large frame one and two cow calf pairs from $2,175 to $2,675, and middle aged large frame one and two cow calf pairs at $1,600 to $2,400 a pair. for the afternoon National Slaughter Cattle Review. Wednesday trading in the Southern Plains and Colorado has been at a standstill. Nebraska and the Western Corn Belt trading has been limited on very light demand. Not enough sales to fully establish a market trend. Negotiated sales week to date of 7,500 head. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock Grain Market News Service, returning you back to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, the spot price for butter, 134.5 down 1. For block cheese, 153.5 unchanged. For barrel cheese, 149.5 up 3. Non-fat dry milk yesterday, 114.75 unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk, 15.13. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for May, 642. For June, 618. Corn delivered to Scottville for May, 634. For June, 610. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for May, 1471. And for June, 1475. And wheat delivered to Scottville for May, 589. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. The pre-opening price is again corn at Greenfield, $6.42, corn at Scottville, $6.34, beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.71, wheat at Scottville, $5.89. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Thursday, brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
M&M Service Company is now treating soybeans with the seed treatments to help you get the highest yield and best stand possible. Treating soybeans is the most effective way to protect your soybean stand against seedling diseases and insects while also providing early vigor. M&M also offers inoculant treatments. Your soybean crop is worth more today than ever before, and it makes sense to protect and enhance it with a seed treatment from M&M Service. Ask your crop specialist about the advantages of having your soybeans treated today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of need.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
Sunny skies today, high temperatures in the upper 80s with south winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight becoming cloudy with a chance of a shower, low temperatures in the mid-60s. Tomorrow Friday, partly cloudy, a slight chance of showers, the high in the upper 80s. Your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday, partly cloudy and cooler with a day-to-day chance of showers. Low temperatures in the mid-50s, high temperatures in the upper 60s. Right now, south winds at 7 miles per hour. The barometric pressure steady. Our temperature, 68 degrees. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
Listen for high school baseball and softball on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. Brought to you by FNB, First National Bank in Raymond, Girard, Burden, Morrisonville, and Pawnee. Prairie Farms, Dairy, and Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Madison Communications, your internet source. Wright Automotive, Route 127 and 185 in Hillsboro. And by Save More Pharmacy and Gift Shop on the Square in Burden.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show on this Thursday brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro. We talked to M&M Service Company crop consultant Bill Brink. We talked about the possibility of some farmers having to replant some of the corn crop.
Well, replant was a big issue, before the rain came. Talking to farmers, and there were a lot of replant corn that was ordered. But I'm not sure after the rain that we've had and softened the surface of the soil, talking to some farmers and some of our crop specialists, and we're starting to see a few more plants emerge. Now, before the rain came and it was so cool. You know, we got to remember that everything revolves around growing degree days, and it takes about 120 growing degree days for corn to emerge. And when we were going through some of those cool days, you know, earlier several weeks ago, you know, we were only accumulating about 5 growing degree days per day. And with that, you know, it's going to take, 3 weeks for emergence. So I think, we might have been jumping the gun a little bit and making that decision. But now the rain came, and obviously nothing can be done in a field. And we're starting to see, I think, a little bit better plant emergence. So after it dries up, we need to get out and reevaluate, what the plants are like, what the population is like. And then again, we need to look at the calendar. And, in a normal year, we approach May 10th as being kind of the date where yield starts to decrease. I know we're still quite a ways from that yet, but still, after it dries up, I know we're going to be able to get out there and reevaluate that population. And I'll bet you that a lot of these fields that we were concerned with before the rain probably look a little bit better right now, and the decision will probably be made to keep that population. So
some of these corn plants that say spike to 4 or 5 inches high that have been submerged, but say only for less than a 24-hour period, will they be okay?
If it's to answer your question very simply, yes, it should be okay. The rain, the water that gets off pretty quickly, it's not going to cause any problem. Now, some of these earliest planted fields, that leads us to another issue here. Some of these earliest planted fields are approaching this V5 stage, the five leaf stage. And this is a time where there's been some evidence where fungicide application at V5 gives a little bit of a protection, a little bit of a yield increase. And we're approaching that in some of these very earliest planted fields. So again, the key is to get out there and, when you can, to scout and see what the health of these plants are like. And if you're interested in making a V5 fungicide application, our crop specialists are out there to help you make that decision. They'll be glad to walk the field with you and help you make that decision. But I think, by and large, the plant health is still pretty good yet.
And will insects be a problem later on because of our cool and wet weather over the past couple weeks?
Well, of course, again, before the rain set in, we were talking about the black cutworm problem. We had a few fields that were sprayed with black cutworm. We're seeing, we saw a lot of flights, significant flights early, and I'm sure that probably has continued. So black cutworm is an issue out there that, we really need to watch here. Usually around, the 5th to the 10th of May is when, in a normal year. Now, I don't know, this has not been a very normal year. But in a normal year, around the 5th to the 10th of May is when the most active cutting begins. So we've got a lot of fields planted. Most of the corn is planted already, so we need to get out and scout those fields. But, we really need to watch for black cutworm here in the next couple of weeks.
That was M&M Service Crop Consultant Bill Brink, and he'll have more comments later today about the soybean and wheat crops on WSMI, WSMI FM 106. On Tuesday, we talked to Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions about the grain trade. He commented on developments in the soybean markets.
Well, we're still seeing quite a bit of activity, especially in the meal market, and a lot of this is still stemming from the announcement on April 16th from Argentina's government that they would be renationalizing their energy program, particularly for biodiesel. Back in the late 90s, they defaulted on a lot of their debt, and Spain in particular, and parts of the European Union, bought in to take on some of that load, and in turn owned a decent share of their energy program. And Argentina, they had these thoughts that they weren't getting everything that they should out of the deal, and they wanted to renationalize that and bring that back in-house. And that's rubbed Spain and the European Union the wrong way, at least for right now, and they're basically boycotting any more purchases for soy oil or methyl ester, what they use for biofuel. And if they don't have that demand, there's no need to crush a bean to get soy oil, and in turn you have a lot less soy meal. And this issue is compounded on the fact that these South American bean estimates as far as crop production continue to stay pretty low and continue to fall. But this issue that happened on the 16th with the soy oil and meal, a lot of demand is going to have to be absorbed by the U.S. We're going to have more demand for soy meal, and in turn more demand for soybeans to crush them, but that can disappear overnight just as quick as it appeared. And I think longer term you have to consider the fact that with an early wheat crop out here, we're probably going to see that crop 2 to 3 weeks ahead of normal, and you're going to see a pretty big surge in double crop bean acres, as well as a potential surge in bean acres into South America for next year because their prices are so high.
Well, now another thing concerning that flap between the Europeans and Argentina, will they turn to the United States to make up that difference?
I think they will. You know, there's three major players out there. You know, Argentina supplies about 45% of the world's soy meal. I believe the U.S. is somewhere around 12 to 13%. And another large one, of course, would be, you know, another contender from South America, Brazil. So those are the three main players out there. The U.S., along with a few other countries around the world, including India, is going to have to absorb a lot of that demand from Argentina, that 45%, really split out evenly. And if you use historical data based on our ratio of how much we supply in the world, and if you divide all that demand out, it could mean probably at least 100 million bushels off of our carryout in soybeans. If we were to absorb all of it, it could mean as much as 200 million bushels, and that would in turn drop the bean carryout down to almost 1.5%, in a level that we've really never seen before. And I think that's what people fear right now, but a lot of that has already hit the market, and I don't see that as a really realistic expectation to see all that demand come only to the U.S. and not spread out around the world.
That was Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. The United States Senate Agriculture Committee has passed a five-year, half-trillion-dollar farm bill. While the legislation would cut spending by nearly $25 billion, Todd Gleason reports the programs it includes carry with it great budget risk exposure.
Budget risk exposure is a phrase that simply means that at face value, the Senate Ag Committee's version of the 2012 Farm Bill looks good on paper, but there could come a time when it blows back on farmers, especially farmers in the Midwest. Jim Wiesmeyer is a senior vice president with Informa and writes a column called Washington Insider. It's safe to say he was appalled by the legislation.
I think it's an easy prediction. I've been watching farm policy for over 33 years, and I'm almost trying to save agriculture from itself, policy-wise. It's a PR disaster in the making, but some groups are just getting a little greedy here from the farm a policy perspective.
Wiesmeyer made his comments the day the legislation was reported out of the Ag Committee on a public radio program called Commodity Week from the University of Illinois. I happen to host that program. Nick Paulson, a farm policy specialist in the Agricultural College at Illinois, agrees the budget risk exposure is a problem.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the big danger. And this is something that a lot of us as agriculture economists have been talking about, that, you know, for example, the direct payment program from a PR, agricultural PR perspective, is kind of really taken a bad rap. But it is a program where there is limited exposure in terms of expenditures because we know exactly what that program will cost. From a trade perspective, it's much more accepted, or potentially much more accepted than some of these more risk management, revenue risk management programs will be in the event that we have lower prices or something that could lead to potentially very large payments.
Now, therein lies the political quandary. The United States has a vested interest in making sure an adequate food supply is available for the population. The Farm Safety Net tries to make sure there are farmers to produce that food by leveling out income from one year to the next. You know, farmers don't really like direct payments because they look like a government check for, well, just being a farmer. To be clear, they are. On the other hand, producing farm programs that protect farm income when needed is difficult, and creating one taxpayers will not see as greedy, well, that can be even more problematic. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Some other notes in the news on this Thursday morning. The government is unveiling provisions today to keep potentially deadly E. coli from infiltrating summer barbecues and other outings when folks sink their teeth into meat. Under the new policy, USDA inspectors will begin looking for meat contaminated with E. coli as soon as early testing shows a potential problem. The Archer's Daniels Midland Company reported a 31% drop in its fiscal third quarter earnings amid an ethanol supply glut and weak European oilseed processing results. Ethanol profit fell sharply as excess production and stockpiles continue to weigh on the market. While Americans cut meat consumption to the lowest levels in two decades, the Chinese eat nearly 10% more red meat than 5 years ago. To keep up production, the Chinese are snapping up millions of live animals raised by farmers as breeding stock. We have the genetics they want, according to Purdue University animal sciences professors. Lanes will be added to U.S. Routes 51 and Illinois Route 13. The intersection of Interstates 74 and 155 will be rebuilt, and money will be spent studying the feasibility of a new interstate highway that would cross the southernmost tip of the state under a state transportation plan expected to get underway on July 1st. Coming up this weekend, the Lincolnwood FFA chapter will have a plant sale at Lincolnwood High School. Sales Friday from 3:30 until 5:30, and on Saturday from 8 until 1. This reminder, the Montgomery County Fair is accepting applications for the 2012 Miss Montgomery County Fair Queen. Young ladies between the ages of 16 and 21 and who reside in Montgomery County or attend a Montgomery County high school are eligible. A $1,500 educational scholarship plus many other gifts will be offered to the new 2012 Miss Montgomery County Fair Queen. The Queen pageant will be held on Wednesday, June 20th, the opening night of the Montgomery County Fair. There is a $40 sponsor entry fee. To obtain an application for either event or for more information, you can contact Missy Dean at 229-3138 or email at missy.dean@hotmail.com. If you're looking for a unique Mother's Day gift, you can try surfing the Illinois Department of Agriculture's website. The department's Bureau of Marketing, whose mission is to support small to medium-sized Illinois food and agribusiness companies, asked these businesses whether they are offering any Mother's Day specials. Their responses, which include an assortment of delectable candies and treats, are posted on the department's website along with links to the companies selling those items. That is agr.state.il.us/marketing/Mother's Day. We'll have the opening commodity markets this morning at 9:32 on WSMI, WSMI FM 106, and we'll keep you updated with the commodity markets throughout the day on WSMI Radio. The DTN general opening call for later this morning, once again, expect corn to open steady to two higher, beans about a nickel higher, wheat steady to two lower. The overnight crude oil market, 34 cents lower at 104.88. Brent crude, 49 cents lower at 117.71. The June gold contract, $8.10 lower at $1,645.90. Reporting, I'm Randy Prangy.